The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome on into the Baseball Insiders. Go Birds, I guess. I am Adam Weinrub, joined as always by FanSided's MLB Insider and the only one of us two with a team in the Super Bowl, Robert Murray, here to talk about Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman, and answer your questions, sort out what we can sort out from the weekend. Steve Cohen had himself a day at Citi Field on Saturday. Definitely made the content easier. Welcome your questions. Welcome your memberships. Thanks for being here, Robert Murray. How are you doing, man?
Well, I am doing great. Life is good. The Eagles won. They're going to the Super Bowl. I was riding the high yesterday. It was probably the least stressful football game I've watched, well, since the last time the Eagles were in the NFC Championship game. So life is good. We got trades happening with Ryan Pressly going to the Chicago Cubs, as expected. We got all sorts of different stuff happening behind the scenes. I am ready to break it all down with you, Adam. Feels good to be here. How are we doing, Gresham 5? It is a good afternoon to see you here. Go Birds. Adam, what's up?
We're good. We're doing good. Good to have everybody on the show. Again, live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So far during the offseason, three times a week, 3:30 Eastern on Mondays and Fridays, 1 o'clock on Wednesday, giving you as many scoops as we possibly can. So thank you for joining us. Join the Discord if you're not in there. Become a member right under this video. That's how you get the link. You can join us at the Rumor Mill tier or the All-Star tier. All-Stars get priority in this chat. We organize private Q&As for our All-Stars as well. We'll get to plenty of your questions, whether you are in the Discord or not, but that's an easy way to get on in there and talk to us. Additionally, if you are not subscribed to the Moonshot, now is the time. That is our weekly baseball email newsletter where the fans on an MLB team, including Robert Murray, now including myself, I'm trying to do it too. We break down all the biggest stories in the big leagues with humor, insight, and behind-the-scenes info. So find us there or on the podcast or on your audio feeds. This podcast is also on all podcast platforms. It is a video. It is an audio as well. It's kind of everything. It's kind of a hybrid podcast. Steve Cohen, probably done with hearing from Met fans at this point. He opened himself up to maybe some criticism on Pete Alonso this weekend from fans who are satisfied by Juan Soto, but not satisfied enough. The Met fans at Amazing Day greeted him and David Stearns by chanting, "We want Pete." He called this negotiation tougher than Soto and said that he does not like any of the parameters presented to him so far. I would call that getting candid. So my question now, as we head into another week of Alonso Gate, we don't know if he'll be a Met if the door is closed. We don't know if he'll be a Blue Jay. There were rumors last week that was at the 10-yard line. It seems like a lot of time. If it was at the 10-yard line, it's like when the Eagles and Commanders were at the goal line and Frankie Luvu kept jumping over the line and smacking the quarterback. Like, if they're at the 10-yard line, the ref is currently giving them a talking to, being like, "We can't keep doing this. Come on, we have to run a play. What are we doing? I'll award them a touchdown if you won't play football." So where are we at? Who's the pressure on to? Like, the fans made it clear they want Pete. They yelled it, you know, "Juan Soto, not enough. Bring our guy home." Steve Cohen basically told them, "I hate this. I hate what I'm seeing. I'm not doing this." So door not closed, but frustration has been voiced. So I'm curious as to your thoughts here.
Yeah, no, I think you said it perfectly here. And I want to applaud Steve Cohen. It is very rare you hear an owner speak that candidly and that open. And I thought it was refreshing. I thought it was cool. It may not have helped the Pete Alonso negotiations by any means, because you have to deal with Scott Boras, and the guy that you're criticizing with those comments is indeed Boras. But he said that he does not like the negotiations, that he does not like what's been presented to them, and called it a tougher negotiation than Juan Soto. And if it's tougher than Juan Soto, which that was a very up and down process for Cohen, he's spoken pretty openly and pretty candidly about that as well, then this has had to have been just a total nightmare. And as far as what the negotiations look like, there's been a few different teams involved throughout the offseason. I mean, we've had the Mets. They've had plenty of conversations with Boris, and there's just been nothing close there. They've been pretty far apart throughout this entire process. All the reporting about the Blue Jays, like, here's what I can tell you, is the Blue Jays have been interested, but I don't think it's ever been at the 10-yard line. I don't think it's ever been close. If it was at the 10-yard line, then, I mean, the fact that the deal hasn't been done yet would appear they've taken probably like a 15-yard sack, if we're keeping the football analogies here. But, like, I'm going to say I don't think they've ever been close to a deal. So it's just going to continue to be a waiting game. But with this negotiation continuing to linger and keep pressing on, you always open up the chance of another team swooping in here and trying to land Alonso on a short-term contract. And I won't be surprised if other teams have checked in, or if they will check in. But I just don't think any Alonso signing is close, which is just leading to frustration from the Mets. We'll see what happens, but I don't think there's anything real. I don't think there's been any real progress here.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tired of scrolling through endless sitter profiles on other sites only to get ghosted? For over 20 years, Sitter City has been the go-to resource for parents who want a more personalized, reliable way to find trustworthy sitters and nannies. While other sites flood you with options, Sitter City focuses on bringing you high-quality matches that are the right fit for your family every time. With SitterCity.com, you can find full-time, part-time, or occasional care that meets your specific needs. Every caregiver is ID verified, and profiles include real parent reviews, background checks, and specialized experience, so you can spend less time searching and more time doing what matters most, spending time with your family. And did you know that many employers include Sitter City as part of their benefits package? In a few clicks, find out if you can get Sitter City free. Getting started has never been easier. Take the guesswork out of finding care so you can breathe easier knowing your kids are in good hands. Visit SitterCity.com today to get the care you need.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fifteen-yard sack it is. We will keep checking in on this, of course. I feel like Alonso will be the dominant topic of conversation until we get to the finish line. Or maybe he's 1A and Alex Bregman is 1B. I see all the questions. Of course, we're going to talk about this. Ryan Presley goes to the Cubs over the weekend. That process felt like, I think it was at least 48 hours while we waited for Ryan Presley to decide whether or not he wanted to waive his no trade and join the Cubs. He does. Some money gets cleared off the Astros books. Some eagle-eyed folks spotted Jose Altuve practicing in left field today. Jose Altuve has made it very clear he would love Alex Bregman back. If he comes back to the Astros, it'll probably be at second base. Paredes at third, Walker at first, Altuve in the outfield. Altuve doing whatever it takes selflessly to get Bregman back. I guess watching the Cubs add that money rather than take it away and help the Astros maybe clear some payroll, this told me sort of, hey, Houston thinks they have a chance to get Bregman, and the Cubs, a rumored team from the past, maybe do not, maybe no longer believe they're going to go far enough. But this afternoon, there was some pessimistic stuff coming from Houston where they still believe they're a long shot and that it's technically plausible, but not likely. The Red Sox are there. The Tigers are there. There were rumors that there were 2 5-plus-year deals on the docket for Bregman, and there were rumors that the Red Sox were not willing to go past 4. This is getting more confusing, not less confusing, as time marches on. Over the weekend, I thought, oh, Astros, lock, you know, masterclass. They did the job, but now I don't seem to – maybe I'm very stupid, but I don't think I understand where this is heading.
Adam, you're not stupid. I'll squash that rumor. We don't need MLB deadline news aggregating that one. Adam
he probably will though. He's probably gonna do that. Yeah.
I hope not for your sake. But what I can tell you about the Presley trade is and what it means for the Astros is I don't think it has any impact on Bregman here. And the Astros entering the offseason, they seem pretty intent on moving Presley in his salary. He was their longtime closer, and they ended up signing Josh Hader after an injury last year in the offseason. And Presley was no longer the ninth inning guy there. And he became expendable. And he obviously had a no trade clause, which made things a little bit tougher as far as moving him. And the Cubs were always going to be, at least when the destinations got narrowed down, it was always going to be the Cubs. It was going to be the Cubs or, I mean, maybe another team would swoop in late. But the Tigers, I don't think they really stood much of a chance there. It was just – it came down to the Cubs and the Astros and Presley and his camp had to figure out an assignment bonus there. It took some time to figure that out. I think the physicals still need to be taken and everything or completed, I should say. So it's not, I don't think it's officially done quite yet, but like it's going to happen. And as far as what this move means for the Cubs, it gives them a solid option in the ninth inning. He'll be their closer unless they end up making another move this offseason. They're still talking to some other relievers as well. I saw Bruce Levine in Chicago. I mentioned them with David Robertson and I believe Ryan Stanek as well. So they're continuing to look there as well. But as far as the Astros, as I said, this doesn't mean a Bregman return is more likely, but they have left the door open for a return for Bregman. And we even saw John Heyman report before the show today that the Astros are trying to bring back Bregman. And that they're still willing to do 6 years for 156 or somewhere around that ballpark. But one reason that he's declined it so far is because it is a pay cut from his $28.5 million salary previously. And he also mentioned, apparently there's a mystery team here because he said there's another team offering 6 years with a first-year opt-out. Who is that team? I don't know. But he also mentioned that the other teams in are the Cubs, the Red Sox, and the Tigers. So we don't know who's making that offer quite yet. But Astros have continued to leave the door open for a return for Bregman, but they've just, they continue to insist that it's unlikely or a long shot at this point.
The White Sox, as far as we know, not in on that front loaded, 1 year opt out 6 year deal, but, I can't wait to see what's up with the, give me that mystery team and then also reveal what the mystery team is. Wow, everybody, I called myself stupid, by the way, the comments that are popping off. I'm not insulted, but if you guys make me take an SAT test, I maybe will be insulted. I'll give you my old scores. I think they prove that I'm not a dumbass, but who knows? No need to aggregate for now. The comment section is peeved, though, to say the least. Does my use of a vocab word like peeved get me off the hook? Is that enough? I don't know. Either way, I appreciate everybody. We'll get to the bottom of Alex Bregman's situation. What's up with the Red Sox? I know we're going to get that question. And we know there's been internal Bregman strife there all offseason where Alex Cora is getting in front of the media and being like, he'd be a great second baseman someday. I've always told him that. And then the front office is like, Alex Cora never said that. And Alex Cora should also shut up. What is your take on Boston and Bregman? And if not Boston and Bregman, a Boston Bregman pivot.
Yeah, as far as the Red Sox and Bregman goes, I have not heard any suggestion that it's like there's been progress there. It's just they've been interested, but they just haven't been close there. I don't necessarily know what that means for their long-term standing here in the negotiations as far as Bregman. As far as Bregman's market goes, it's a very difficult market to read. I mean, obviously Heyman ended up mentioning those names before, but it's just figuring out exactly where he's going to go has been really difficult because we thought a return to Houston was going to happen. And then they ended up signing Christian Walker and now they consider it a long shot. We thought maybe the Tigers would be it because all the buzz was there, but they're at a standstill. And the Red Sox have long been mentioned there as well, but we haven't heard of any progress. So I don't know if they're pivoting away from that by any means, but They've maintained dialogue with a lot of different folks throughout the entire offseason. We'll see what eventually sticks. But as I said on a previous podcast, one thing I feel confident about is that they'll end up with a reliever. But as far as Bregman goes, that's where I can kind of put you right there.
It smells like a righty reliever to me, given that Aroldis Chapman is in the mix. And Yes, I do laugh to myself a little bit every time I remember that our oldest Chapman is in the mix. Man, the comment section is a tire fire right now. I don't know what
it is. It's crazy.
I don't know what we're doing today, but shout out to everybody. Thank you for thanks for showing up. Thanks for showing yourselves. And no better time than the present to get the once a show Angels super chat question, because we did get a comment that I wanted to address. Last show, there was a rumor that Pete Alonso had met with the Angels. We talked about it because it came out pretty much right before we went live. I don't actually remember if that was Wednesday or Friday. Maybe I'm an idiot. Aggregate that. But we definitely were like, gee, you know, we'll try to get to the bottom of this and see if we can find proof that it did or didn't happen. We just don't know. And so there was a question right before this super chat that was like, hey, any clarity on that? Obviously, a market where the Mets are shying away and the Blue Jays are getting swarmed by Chris Jones in the line of scrimmage. And we don't know what's going on there. So any truth to that Angels report and it maybe even a third team in the Alonso mix would be nice. It would be nice to add a third team for narrative purposes.
Yeah, as far as the Angels go, like they've left a lot of different options open this offseason. I would be very surprised if they ended up signing Alonso. Doesn't mean it's guaranteed to not happen, but I would be pretty surprised unless, as I like to say in this podcast, Artie Moreno wakes up one morning and decides that he wants to end up doing this. But I'd be pretty surprised if it happened. But one thing, as far as the Angels go, it seems like they're pretty intent on adding to their bullpen. So I look for them to make some additions there. I still think a guy like Jack Flaherty would make a lot of sense for the Angels. They have always needed starting options, but the one thing I do know that they like is their depth internally and their back end options in the rotation, whether it's inside the rotation or even outside of the rotation. But I think it's fair to say that if they ended up getting Flaherty or if they got another one of those options, they would be very happy, or they'd feel over the moon happy about where the rotation's at. I just don't know exactly where the likelihood on that is either.
We appreciate it. Thank you for the super chat, as always. We will definitely get you Angels news when we have it. There's got to be some wiggle room there. There's got to be some bullpen options. We will definitely cover that as it comes. And next up, though, and we've got to talk about this, and you know, apologies, this broke a little bit late and was not on the initial rundown, but the comments have made it abundantly clear that we do have to address the Michael King trade rumors. I cannot believe that I went into the rundown and didn't add a Padres nugget before we started, given the fact that we are asked about the Padres in every single show at least once, often multiple times. But there is a Ken Rosenthal report of King's availability earlier today that jives with everything that we have been hearing or theorizing around the Padres. There is turmoil there. Jurickson Profar leaves, wanted to stay, but leaves for a fairly affordable price with the Atlanta Braves. Dylan Cease, we have talked about him pointedly on this podcast many times about whether or not that is someone that they bail on ahead of their walk year. Luis Arraez is someone that we've talked about. And if we're going to talk about those two, then why wouldn't Michael King be available? Another walk year legend. The Yankees traded him for Juan Soto with 2 years of control remaining. I kind of thought that that would be someone the Padres eventually extended, but I didn't know at the time how much turmoil was going on behind the scenes. So add him to the docket of 1 year remaining Padres who they'd explore a trade of. I don't know. Is there anything to it beyond that? Or are they just making very clear, hey, you know what? We're aware of our situation. So is the rest of baseball. And anybody who's talented, who isn't tied down, is someone who we'll listen on.
I think that's, you just hit the nail on the head here, is anyone who's not tied down long-term, or even guys who are tied down long-term with like huge salaries, I think the Padres are going to be very open to listening on. And I don't get the impression that it's like a shopping kind of a deal. I think it's the Padres listening to see exactly what's out there. And they've done that pretty consistently Cease has been one, Arraez has been one, obviously Michael King now. But a lot of these guys, they're listening on. As far as King goes, this makes sense. The writing has kind of been on the wall for this, especially since they did not end up reaching a settlement before arbitration, because King was seeking $8.8 million and the Padres are only offering $7.325 million, which that's a pretty sizable gap. And it does not seem like there's been any progress since then to try to reach a settlement. So he appears very likely headed for a hearing. And you know what arbitration hearings do. They typically can, it's not a fun process. Let's just say that it has a tendency to have players or just people leaving with hurt feelings. And that's never a good thing. And I think if the Padres can get value or get a good value in return for them, then I think that'd be something they'd be open to doing. But again, like listening and shopping are two totally different things. I cannot make that more clear, because teams listen on 99.9% of their players. That's just what they do. And the Padres, especially considering their financial hole, especially with the ownership problems that they're having right now, they got to consider anything and everything. And it's an unfortunate spot. But the fact that they're listening here does not mean that he's guaranteed going to be traded. But their process and their thought behind it, especially after not agreeing to a settlement before arbitration, it makes sense.
Well, 18 minutes into the show, obviously time to do a 20-minute segment on Dylan Carlson. No, it's not. But isn't it weird that the Orioles now have two of the three 2021 Rookie of the Year finalists in the National League? I find it strange. Trevor Rogers and Dylan Carlson hanging out in there. And our Jonathan India also changed hands this offseason. So all three finalists from just 4 years ago, three seasons ago, have already moved on to new teams to varying degrees of success. This one's weird to me, too, like obviously not to dwell on it. I was being sarcastic, but man, the downfall from like being a piece that the Yankees were interested in trading for a couple of years ago. But the price was high and we can't, you know, come to a conclusion of where this should land, and to the Rays, to non-tender, back to Baltimore. I mean, less big league pedigree even than Eloy Jimenez, but it does feel kind of similar. And like, well, I guess these are just the kind of people that end up on the Orioles now.
No, for sure. And I mean, the Orioles are a really good player development team. We've seen them develop players very well in that organization. I think that's a good spot for him. I do think it's a good job by his representation for getting him a major league deal, because I thought entering the offseason, he'd be destined for an NRI contract. But he ended up getting a major league deal here with Baltimore. He'll get some playing time. You have to think he'll probably end up being a number four option there in the outfield. But it's a pretty far fall from grace, because he looked like he was destined to be like the next big thing in St. Louis. And teams were asking about him when he was coming up, or even shortly after he was debuting there, and trying to acquire him. And now he was a fringe major league guy. And he was a guy that when he was in St. Louis, it was pretty clear he needed a change of scenery. Like, he needed to get out of there and try to get a fresh start. Obviously, it didn't work after that. But maybe in Baltimore, being around a bunch of young players and a bunch of good talent evaluators and good player development people, I think that could be a very good spot for him. So I know there was plenty of other interest in him. So it was a low risk move by the Orioles. And if it doesn't work out, they can DFA him and move on. But I don't see any fault with this one. But a very strange offseason in Baltimore, though. I will absolutely say that.
Adam Jones, big addition to the, you know, player development front office staff, though. Good to see him land there. Maybe that is, you know, an infusion of fan favorites in the past. Never hurts. Want to get to a couple more comments as well. Zach G asking, any Yankees stuff? They need an infielder still? No kidding. And can't seem to dump Stroman anywhere? No kidding times two. It does feel like the Yankees are probably locked into where they're at, unless they're able to clear some of Marcus Stroman's money. And I would take Marcus Stroman as my number six starter. They need depth. They need depth I can trust. But that doesn't mean that Marcus Stroman wants to be a number six starter. And that doesn't mean that Marcus Stroman wants to have his innings manipulated so that we can get under the vesting option, $140 million vesting player option for next year. So I feel like at some point they're going to have to bite the bullet on that, whether they get the savings they're looking for or just minuscule savings. The sequence of events feels like before spring training, we're finally going to get some sort of Stroman resolution. Then we get some sort of infield resolution of the Jorge Polanco, Brendan Rodgers variety. But what are you thinking there?
Yeah, as far as Stroman goes, like, I can't imagine he'll want to be a number six starter by any means. But it seems like he's a guy that the Yankees have been wanting to move. That it just seems like, I think I said it earlier, but it just seems like it's only a matter of when he's moved, not if. And moving on from him would allow them to do some other things in free agency and upgrade the roster in a couple of different ways. I did think that the fit for him or a really good fit for him would have been the San Francisco Giants, because like, he loves it out on the West Coast. I believe that's close to his family. And then they signed Justin Verlander, and that kind of made it a moot point. But I don't necessarily know who exactly is going to be the taker here. He is, I mean, he's making a big salary. There's some other stuff too that would just make it a kind of a tougher trade. So it could be a tougher move for the Yankees to pull it off. But as I think I said on a previous show, and I got kind of ripped for it, that was a signing that always felt destined to fail for New York, because that just, I don't know what exactly possessed him to go out and do it, but it, to me, it didn't make sense. And the fact that they're shopping him after a year, that's kind of confirms that it's just not working out.
A free agent signing that didn't make sense and seemed destined to fail for the Yankees. Surely that doesn't happen multiple times per offseason. Well, thank you for the question. Happy to help you. We're going to wrap on this. We've got our Pirates fans wanting Pirates scoops. There's still an outfield hole in Pittsburgh. Any thoughts there before we send out to the next week's show?
I'm going to keep it short and sweet for you, Canyon, because you know I love you. Nothing new to report there. That's what I can say. But they're continuing to look for outfield. They've been open to adding bullpen, but nothing new to report there.
Shortest and not terribly sweet, but we do appreciate that. All the aggrieved Pirates fans who wanted some help, we'll try to get you information when we can. If you can live and you can breathe, then you are an outfield option for the Pittsburgh Pirates. We will see you back here Wednesday afternoon, 1 o'clock Eastern on Wednesday. Can't wait to talk more baseball with all of you fine folks as I try to prove my mental acuity once again via multiple choice questions. And in typical fill-in-the-bubble SAT format, happy to do it any way that we think is the right way to prove that I have a brain and brain power. Robert Murray, thank you for joining me. As always, New York wants Pete Alonso, but the fans want Robert Murray. And thanks for helping us out again today.
No, thank you. I appreciate you. I got to take a phone call, so I don't know what it's about. But, yeah, that's all I know as of this point. So – we'll see. If I tweet something, you know exactly what that phone call is all about. So we'll see. But Adam, I appreciate you. Everyone in the comments, I appreciate you. Not going to make that dig. Joanne, we love you. You're the best. And we'll see everyone back here on Wednesday.
We will see everyone back here on Wednesday. He's not wrong. Turn on your notifications if you don't have them on. Join us on audio platforms, video platforms. The subscribe button is your friend. So is the join button. See you in the Discord. Until next time, take care, everybody.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Access big savings every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.